Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Hope you're all ready for church tonight. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm ready for church. Glory to God. I'm excited for the word. I'm excited for what God has. You know, I'm just so thankful. You know, as I think about this town, as I think about the work that God wants to do here, is doing here, but desires to do here, amen, and it's a greater work. And, you know, even tonight, as we were worshiping, I leaned over to my wife and I said, we need to start praying out a service in the park. Praise the Lord. That's just the direction I have, but I know it's going to take something to be able to do it. And you say, what's it going to take to be able to do it? It's going to take some setting up in the spirit, amen. And so we need to pray for those things. We need to pray as a group. We need to agree that, you know, the Lord, that we can have that service and that we have direction, clear direction. Because I won't do something like that without clear direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need clear direction and I need to know because, and what I mean by that, there's always a level of faith that we step out in. Amen. But, we want to have direction so we can get the most out of something like that. Amen. And do have the most impact. But I believe God is doing great things here. Amen. He's doing great things in this church. Oh, and I'm just so excited for it. Praise the Lord. You know, it's been on my heart a lot. And I don't know if this will factor into it or not, but, you know, the Bible says that you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you know, and we understand, you know, understand a lot of times we lay hands on people in church for sickness and disease and stuff like that. But, you know, Jesus wasn't laying hands on people in the church. He was laying hands on people out in the world. Amen. And it was those signs and wonders of the healings that would bring people to Christ. Amen. Now, not everybody came and not everybody was willing, but we know that those who were, amen. And that's what it's meant to do. And praise God. I'm believing the Lord for even more boldness and opportunity in those areas. Amen. And I think you should agree with me. Praise the Lord and believe for yourself, but believe for your pastor. Amen. And release faith that we can preach the word boldly. Praise the Lord and be delivered from wicked, unreasonable men while we do it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Tonight's message is called Press In and Press On. Amen. Press in, press on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This isn't like clap on, clap off. Hallelujah. This is, I just thought of that as I just said that. Praise the Lord. It isn't like clap on, clap off. It's press in, press on. Hallelujah. We're not the clapper, we're the pressers. Amen. We're not the oppressors. Amen. We're delivered from oppression. Amen. And we're gonna walk in that. Glory to God. And I believe that tonight's message will stir you. Hallelujah. And help you in your way. Amen. Praise God. Well, this week as I was praying for our Tuesday night service, I was in prayer for a little while and there was a certain phrase that came to me and I shared it with our Tuesday night service, but I just kind of all but didn't forget about it, but I just kind of left it there, you know what I mean? And as I was going to prepare today's message, the Lord seemed to draw this back out of me. And so I wanted to share it with you, and this is where the message is built on, amen. But what I spoke out of my spirit was, what waits for you on the other side is worth the trial it takes to get there. Yeah. Amen. What waits for you on the other side is worth the trial it takes to get there. Now, he gave me a scripture to go along with it, and I'll share that with you in a minute here. But what I want you to understand is that, you know, there's a great attack that will come whenever the work of the Lord is being done. Whenever somebody is trying to accomplish something for God, whenever the direction of God has been given, there's always an attack on it. You know, it starts individually and it works up to a whole congregation, amen, or a whole church or a whole movement of churches, amen. The devil will always try to come against it. But, you know, the Bible gives us very specific direction on how to deal with that, amen. And sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it doesn't feel like you want to. And I understand that feeling, you know. But you'll have to get to where I got to. And that's the place where you say, well, you know what? I guess I just don't have any other choice, though. Because I remember what I came out of, and I ain't going back there, amen. So if I'm going forward, then I'm going to have to do what the Word says, amen. I don't want to go where I was, so I have to get to where I'm going, amen. And we need to do that. We need to press on. We need to press in, amen. And we do that, or press in and press on, however, which way you want to say it, doesn't matter. But, you know, we need to press into God. We need to press into His Word. And we need to press on through the trials. Because what waits for us on the other side is worth it. Yeah. Now, the trial is not given to us by God. God allows us to go through trials sometimes. He allows a certain aspect of that to build things in us, and that isn't wrong. And as I've learned in my life, the greater things that I've done, I've only been able to do because of what God has brought me through. Amen. I've only been able to get into things because of what God has already gotten me out of. Amen. And His word and the direction that He's given me. And so we need to learn how to live in that, because God wants us to go from what? Glory to glory. Amen. We sing about that. We sang about it tonight. We're going from glory to glory. God wants us to go into better things. He wants us to look better 10 years from now than we did 10 years ago. Amen. And so that's a wonderful thing. That's an exciting thing. But we have to get there a certain way. God has ordained a way for us to get there. And the devil is going to try to stop us from getting there. But we decide whether or not we're going to get there. Now, and just so you understand that, you know, trial, that you go through trial doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian, and that you feel the trial doesn't mean that you're a good Christian, and that you want to give up during the trial sometimes doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian. What makes you not a good Christian is when you do give up, when you don't resist the devil. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that we resist the devil and he flees from us. Amen. And so that means we have to resist. And of course, a lot of this message we're going to be talking about, pressing and being pressed and pressures and all those things. But you understand that pressure isn't necessarily a bad thing. Amen. You think about your tires on your car. Amen. The tires on your car have a certain amount of pressure in. Now, too much pressure coming from the inside out make them explode, but not enough pressure makes them go flat. Amen. And how many know that the more pressure that's coming out, the more weight that it can carry, the more it can carry with it. You know, those big tires that are on those big trucks, they have more pressure in them than a bicycle tire does. Amen. And rightfully so, because they carry a lot more weight. Glory to God. And so we have to understand we need to learn to press back against the pressure. Amen. That's what resisting the devil is. It's pushing back against what he is bringing forth to us. Amen. And as we learn to do that, what happens is the pressure still doesn't feel good. But as we resist, as we push back, as we say, no, I won't be collapsed. I won't be flattened. Amen. As we do that, what happens is we are able to carry more and more and more of what the devil tries to put on us. Amen. In fact, actually, what we don't have to carry anything. That Jesus told us to cast our cares on him. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. But you know, I'm speaking kind of metaphorically that we can do more than what we could before. Amen. Jesus isn't called us to carry anything really, but he has called us to walk in faith. Amen. And the walking in faith is using that outward push to get through to the other side. Amen. You know, if you had a great crowd of people, amen, glory to God, they're coming. But if you had a great crowd of people and you needed to get to the other side of them, you would have to push through them. Amen. The other side wouldn't happen. And sometimes there'd be resistance. But if you want to go to the other side, you're going to have to push. Amen. And the same thing is with the devil. If you're going to go to the other side, you're going to have to learn how to push back. Amen. You're going to have to learn how to not just lay down and take it. You know, whenever you hear about stories of like Black Friday and stuff like that, where you know, they finally open the door to Walmart and everybody wants to go get their 50-cent TV at half price. Amen. Glory to God. So you go get your 50-cent TV at half price and there's a horde of people waiting to get that junk TV that probably won't work anyways. But they push in through the door. What happens to the one that lays down or gets knocked down? They get trampled. We've heard of this. I'm not making light of someone who's gotten trampled. We know it's not a good thing. Amen. But it's the same thing in Christianity. If you lay down when the devil attacks, you're going to get trampled. If you don't stand up and push back, you're going to get trampled. And the Bible says that we can press back. And because it says we can press back, what do we know? That we can press back. We can push back and we can do it effectively. That we don't have to be stopped, because the devil can't stop what Jesus has started going. Amen. The devil could just like to try to get you to stop. He wants to get you derailed. But as long as you stay on the rails, Jesus is the rails, praise the Lord, and the Holy Spirit's a conductor. And as long as you stay on that train, glory to God, you'll go on over into glory land. Amen. You'll get to the other side. You'll find all the things that you want, and it'll be sweet and great on the other side. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What waits for you on the other side is worth the trial it takes to get there. In other words, we have to know that there's something on the other side that we're going to that's worth going through what we're going through. Amen. Now, sometimes trials are started by or caused by our own on our own accord. Of course, I'm not talking about those trials tonight. I'm talking about the trials that you weren't expecting, the trials that you didn't do anything to aid on their in their coming on. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Glory to God. But even the ones that we have. That we have created. If you repent, God will get you to the other side of it, and it will be good. But sooner or later, we got to know to stop walking in trials purposely, yeah. Amen. And pushing back against the ones that just come to us. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we turn to Philippians 3:14? This is a scripture that the Lord gave me to go along with this. Glory to God. I love fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost. You know, today as I was fellowshipping with the Lord, I said to myself, self. I wish I could do this every day. Amen. I wish this could be every day. I wish I'd just do it every day. I wish there'd be a portion, you know. Whenever I get to that place, you know, there's always an aspect of following God that, you know, is resisted. Amen. The flesh resists it. The flesh doesn't want to. But how many know whenever you get over in there and you start doing the things you're supposed to do, it actually feels pretty good. Amen. It's not something that you're, you know, but there's a lot of opposition to try to keep you out. But we're not going to be those people. Amen. Philippians 3:14, glory to God, says here, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. I'm pressing toward the goal. What's the goal? You have the goal. And when you're in the race, do you have the goal right then? You don't, right? Amen. You're looking toward the goal. What the goal is what keeps you going. Amen. But so many Christians, they forget that there is a goal on the other side. They just see the trial and they do exactly what the trial is intended to do, is they fall victim of just looking at the trial. But it's not for the, you know, it says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, praise the Lord, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross because he was looking at the joy on the other side of it. He couldn't have endured the cross if he was thinking about the cross. In fact, when he was thinking about the cross, what happened? He started sweating blood, amen? Starting wanting to, Lord, take this away from me. I don't want to do this, amen? That's what the flesh wanted to do. You see, and we see it so perfectly in Jesus. The flesh did not want to go through what the flesh was about to go through. Jesus' flesh resisted it. Was Jesus a failure because his flesh resisted? Absolutely not. Where would Jesus have been a failure if he had allowed the flesh to dictate what he did? But he didn't, because he knew that there was a plan of God, and so he went on. Amen? So we have to have a goal. We have to have something in mind. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I press toward the goal. In any race, there is a place, sometimes many, where you can give up. You know, in any time when you're, whether it's you're doing natural things like working out or you're running a race or you're doing anything, there's often many times where there's a place where you probably will think it's time to give up or I don't want to go any further. Amen. But how many know that the ones who see the prize are the ones who always push through that? Amen. They press through that. They don't let that thought become their deciding factor, their decision. They don't allow that thought that they can't get to the other side. Amen. Or that they're struggling to get to the other side. You know, there's plenty of things in life. You know, as I was putting this message together, there's been a lot of resistance towards the plan of God. There always is. Amen. And as we started the Mayville Church, there was resistance against that. As we started the Corey Church, there's been resistance against that. You know, and you say, has it been people? Has it been? Not necessarily. Mostly it's been in the spirit. But there's been resistance, things trying to stop us from getting to the other side. But what do? We press on towards the goal. Because we know that God doesn't do things. The Bible says in Psalm 127, one, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Praise the Lord. You can see that the house got built, but they labored in vain because God didn't build it. But the same thing goes here. Unless we're doing what God has called us to do, it's labor in vain. But here's the thing. We know that God has called us to do this. And so just as we knew that God had called us to do Mayville. And so as we press on, and we haven't arrived in Mayville either, you know, we're still pressing on towards the goal. And there's times where it's easier, times where it's harder. But the point is that what do? We just don't stop. We just keep going. Amen. We decide that we're not quitting. When the trial arises, you know, a lot of times if you're running, and I know this because I've run a little, but very little. But if you run, you don't feel necessarily like quitting generally the whole time. There's spots, am I right? You're a runner. There seems to be moments where, and people talk about it, you get your second wind, or you know, you get that burst of energy, and all of a sudden you're just like, oh man, I could go for 10 more miles, you're saying to yourself. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, whoom, it lands on you, and you're like, I can't go the ones that just came. Amen. I want to stop. But you know, what do runners do? They press on, they press through that. Why? Because as they press through that, they have breakthrough. And when they break through on the other side, glory to God, they get the prize. And that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. As the pressure comes against us and we're running our race, we press on. And that's what Paul was talking about to the Philippians. I press on toward the goal. I keep pressing towards it. Well, how long do you keep pressing? Until I get there. Until I get to where I know I'm going. And that's why I brought up Psalm 127:1, because we know that the Lord is building this house. And so we press on towards the things that he's doing. Amen. And you need to know that as well. So we're pressing on. Praise the Lord. But that is a place of decision, and that is a place of pressing. Notice the place of decision and the place of decide. And when I say decision of whether or not you're going to quit, and the place of pressing on are at the same place. Yeah. They come together at one point, amen? And again, sometimes that point, depending on how long the race is, can be in many places, amen? But you know, I think about Dory. Anybody know Dory? What do we know about Dory? What does she do? She just keeps swimming, amen? Dory just keeps swimming. Why does she keep swimming? Because if a fish don't swim, they sink. Right, I imagine they would sink, amen. I know if I was out in the water, if I was out in the middle of the lake and I had to get back to the shore and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it, what I would start doing is telling myself, just keep swimming, because if I don't, I'm going to start sinking. And when I sink, praise the Lord, you know I can't breathe underwater, amen. Glory to God. I mean, Dory can, but I would imagine she had to move. But we need to think about Dory. We need to press on to the other side. What does just keep swimming mean? It means press on to the other side, amen. You can get knowledge anywhere if you just follow the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us through. He wants us to get on the other side. The other shore is for us. We can be assured of that. God has it for us. He loves us. He's prepared a table on the other side for us. Amen. There's things that we are to go over there. And when we get over there to that other side, there's a place of rest. Amen. Because he leads us beside still waters into green pastures. Anybody remember that in the old Psalm 23? Praise the Lord. God leads us into still waters and green pastures. Why does he do it? What is that? That's the other side of pressing through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you understand that those things, they have a crossroads. And when you're at that crossroad, when you decide to quit, and this, you know, this is another thing where the devil's stupid, because if we just think about it, right, we can get into where we need to go. When you're at that crossroad and you hear that it's time to quit, amen, what do you know to do? Pressing on. Hallelujah. I'm pressing on and I'm pressing through. I'm pressing on to everything that God has for me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:12 in the Amplified. I love this. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know this. You know, it says the violent take it by force. What does that mean? It means Christians, you need to start being violent. You need to start throwing things and start hammering things and breaking things and being mean. No, that's not what it's talking about. Amen. It'd be good for you to get in and study that word out of violent, but it means to press on as in a race. Amen. That's what it means. It means you're going to go through to the other side. It means you're going to go, you're going to claim what is yours, because you know, listen, you're just going to go against it. You're going to exert back against it. Amen. The violent take it by force. Hallelujah. What is this doing? It's stirring us up to say, if something's coming against you, then take what is yours by force. You see, when we lay down, when we start saying, I can't do it, what we do is we start laying down to the devil. We need to take it by force. What is the force? The force is whatever is being exerted on us needs to be exerted out of us. Whatever is pushing in, you need to push out. Amen? Praise God. When the external force overcomes the internal force, what happens? Collapse. That's when you get a flat tire. That's why the internal force has to meet the external force. But the great thing is it doesn't have to be more than it. That's the other thing too. It only has to be enough to push back. It doesn't have to be enough to push back and destroy. You know, the Bible says the Lord will do your fighting for you. And I think it's in Numbers 14. I think maybe 14, somewhere around there. I may have that a little bit off, but I think it's somewhere around there that, you know, the Bible says that you hold your peace and the Lord will fight for you. You know, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that God will, if we allow him to take our cares, if we allow him to take the struggle, he will take it and he will allow us to rest, even in the midst of our trial. Amen. Listen to this now. Everyone who has ever done anything for God, has seen and will see this kind of trial. Yeah. Anyone who has ever done anything for God is going to see opposition. Yeah. If you have a desire to be better for the Lord, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's opposition waiting for you. Yeah. Don't get sad, don't get scared, because you're well equipped to handle it. That's right. Praise God. You know, when I think about the tires on my truck, I'm glad I got them. Yeah. Amen. In fact, the only time I really think about them is when I need new ones or they go flat. Right? Praise the Lord. But I'm glad that I have them. I'm glad that I have that pressure, that ability to push back. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what keeps us going down the road. We need to do it. As Christians, we need to be able to just go down the road and be happy with the fact that we've been equipped to win. Now, we don't always love the pressure. I ain't telling you to be stupid and love the pressure. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're not going to all of a sudden, you're not going to love the trial. But we're never told to love the trial. We're told to love Jesus. Hallelujah. We're told to love God and follow him. And as we do that, we get through the trial. Praise the Lord. This is what it really comes down to. What is it worth to you to get to the other side? Does it matter enough to you to go through the trial, to get through to the other side? Do you care enough? And see, that's the thing. When God presents his plan before us, is not always, what was it? Flowery beds of ease. Yeah, it's not always flowery beds of ease. Praise the Lord. The trial or the things that God wants us to get into. Why? Because if it's God, there is going to be opposition on this earth. The devil doesn't like God. He doesn't like what God wants you to get into. He doesn't like what God wants you to do, because what God wants you to do is a blessing for many people. Yeah. What God has each of us do is a blessing for others. Hallelujah. It's a blessing for ourselves, and the devil knows this. That's why he works so hard at trying to oppose you. Amen? What's it worth to you? What's it worth to get on the other side? It's worth something to me. It's worth something to me to reach these people in this town. It's worth something to me to set up God's presence here in this town. I'm not saying God's presence was never here. I'm not judging that. But I know that God has built this house, that God is building this house. And because God's building this house, he obviously had a reason for it to happen. We're staking claim to this ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when the English started coming over here and settling in this country and taking this, you know, there's people that have different problems with it. I'm sure glad we have America, though. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's a place where we can all live, you know, and even the Indians, there wasn't that many of them anyways. I mean, they didn't cover the whole property, amen. There's still room for them too, and room for us. Praise the Lord. But I'm sure glad that this country was founded, because it's through this country, the founding of this country, that we get to enjoy all the rights that we have, all the freedoms that we have. In fact, I'll be so bold as to say this: the freedoms that this world has are a result of what God has done here in this country. Why do I say that? Because nobody was lining up to do it. Nobody was sitting there saying, you know what, we want to give people freedom. No, what did they do? Slavery was like the way things were done. You understand? This was a world thing. It was America, you know, that got that, that ended that mess. Amen? It was America that brought equal rights for women and every race and children and all these different things. You know, it's America that built these where these things happen. God has been doing a wonderful thing here, amen. He wanted to establish this. But what did they do when they came here? Praise the Lord. They weren't happy with just settling in Massachusetts and New York. What did they do? They moved out across the land and they kept going and going and going. Now, some people think, again, if you, today's society, a lot of people think that's a bad thing. You know, well, then go somewhere, go back to where you came from. You know, take a DNA test. Praise the Lord if you don't know. Praise God. I'm not being racist. I'm not picking just one group out. I'm talking to everybody. Take a DNA test, find out where you came from and go back there and live. Praise the Lord. If you don't, I mean, if you're that against it, you know what I'm saying? I, for one, am happy that I get to live in this freedom. I'm happy that I get to live here. Glory to God. And I'll praise the Lord for it. And he'll be happy because he created it for us. Amen. It was something the Lord. But you know, just as like with the, you know, just, whenever the Lord's doing something, there'll be resistance. You know, there was people that resisted the founding of this country. Why? Because they were operating according to the devil, not according to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Praise the Lord. We're talking about pressing back, pressing in and pressing on. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, this scripture means a lot to somebody like me. This scripture means a whole lot to somebody who just knows that there's not much power in of themselves. I don't have, you know, I don't have the smarts. I don't have the ability. I don't have to do great things on my own. But glory to God, as I follow the Lord, I have all more than enough. I have more than I need to get into all that God has me to get into. Amen. Why? Because it's not of my power. It's not of my ability, but it's of his. Amen. The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. God doesn't mind that you can't. In fact, if you understand scripture enough, you're going to understand that God is looking for those who can't. He loves to use those who are weak. Praise the Lord. He loves to use those who aren't the smartest. He loves to use those who don't have the ability to speak on their own. He loves to use those who are scared. He loves to use those who are not worthy. He loves to use those who don't think of themselves as anything. Glory to God. That's who God wants to use. Amen. That's pretty exciting to me. Amen. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I want to go back there for a minute. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, God could do wonderful things through amazing people. He could go pick out the best of the best and he could say, I'm going to use you. But then what would people start saying? They'd say, well, the power isn't of God. This person is just talented. They're just able. They just can, you know. One thing my wife and I learned, and of course, we've taught our family. But one thing we learned in the ministry, if you really have a desire for ministry, is to become yes men. Yeah. Yes men, hallelujah. I was with my pastor yesterday, and we were talking about this. What separates those from those who do well in ministry and God can use greatly? Is the only difference between those and those who aren't is those who are the ones that are willing to say yes. Yeah. Those are the ones that are willing to say yes no matter what, all the time. They don't say no. They don't question. They just, if I need to be used over here, I'll be used over here. If I need to be used over here, they don't question it. There's been times where my wife and I didn't want to do something necessarily, but we're yes men to the will and the plan of God. Amen. If you're called to ministry, this is something to understand, that ministers have to have a sense of urgency about them. You have to, it has to be built in you. How do I know if somebody's called to be in ministry? Because they're urgent. What do I mean they're urgent? You know, when I come into the church, I think about a million things that have to be done in the church. When I'm at home, I think about a million things that have to be done in the church. Why? Because there's urgency in me. Praise the Lord. If you go home, you don't ever think about the church, better check up on your call. You might not be called to that, amen. You might just be called to something else. But the church is what's the church of God. The plan of God is what's most important to us. Yeah. Why? Because we know what's really important, amen. What's really important is not all those things in daily life that we deal with. Right. That stuff doesn't matter. Jesus actually said, I'm just going to take care of that. Don't worry about it. If you're worried about that stuff, the daily life stuff, then you haven't understood yet what God wants to do. Because God told you don't worry about that stuff. And the reason he told you not to worry is because he wants you to focus on his stuff. And when you're not focused on his stuff, when you're focused on your stuff, you're looking inwardly and it's a selfish condition. This is why so many people that just, and there's different levels of it. We all have to learn. But the point is that when, not just what we're called to ministry, but when we know who we are in Christ, praise the Lord, we'll do more for God than anybody else, because that'll be the desire. But there's an urgency that's in people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't see something that's out of place and not have to try to get it fixed in the house of God. Why is that? Because the house of God matters to me. Because the plan of God matters to me. Because all those that are attached to the house and the plan of God, praise the Lord, they're attached in the same area. They will come through these doors. These doorways, praise God, hallelujah. These doorways are the way that people come into the body of Christ. Do you realize that? This is where people will find out their callings and they'll get into that plan of God. That's what this place is for. This isn't just some building down there we don't need to have church building. Yes, we do need to have church building. We need to have something that calls to people as they drive by. We need to have something that calls to people as they walk in. Somewhere where they can, where they feel like they can be planted. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I was looking at the DEC or whatever. They like to, once a year, they have a tree program where they sell a bunch of trees real cheap. But what do they tell you about these trees? They're one of the things on their website, if you read about it, is I don't know if they do that in Pennsylvania or not, but they do it in New York. But one of the things that they tell you is that these trees that you get, they're young trees and they're just the roots only. There's no dirt. They're not in any dirt. And one thing they tell you is that when you get them, you got to plant them right away. Why? Because if you don't plant them, they'll die. See, this is a place, this is fertile soil for people to get planted. That's what the house of God is. That's what every church should be. Amen. That's what our church is. That's what our church is. Praise the Lord. It's the place where people get planted and they get, you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for the water. I just, I'm going to press on through it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. That's called pressure. That's called pressure. Amen. We're hard pressed, but we're not crushed. Amen. Hallelujah. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is the one that always got me. Perplexed, not despair. So I looked it up. I got into it. Don't you know? Hallelujah. Perplexed, to be without resources, to be in straits, to be left wanting, to be embarrassed, to be in doubt, not to know which way to turn, to be at a loss with oneself, be in doubt, not to know how to decide or what to do. To be perplexed. Hallelujah. That's what that is. We are perplexed. Wow. Have you ever been there? You're like, don't have enough resources for this. Have you ever been in a straits? Remember the Dire Straits, the band? That's what they're named after. I'm in Dire Straits now. Praise God. I thought it was a guy for so long, but it's not a guy. It's a place of being. Amen. It's not good. I don't think I'd want to name myself after being in Dire Straits. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But to be left wanting, this is interesting to me. This is what the Bible says we are. We're in these places, amen? Does that mean that we live perpetually in this? No, but we don't perpetually have pressure either. There's times where this comes on us. But what does it say? It says that we're not in despair. This word despair is to be utterly at loss, be utterly destitute of measures or resources, to renounce all hope, be in despair. What's the difference between the two? Well, the first one is, you can be at a place where you don't have nothing yourself, but you're not in despair because you have an answer on the other side. Right. See, what a lot of Christians do is they get in the place of not having resources or whatever, or not having resources or being in straits or being embarrassed or being in doubt. They get to that place, nowhere to turn. They get to that place. And what do? They immediately go into despair. But the Bible says we're perplexed, not in despair. See, we can be in that place, but we're not in despair. Why? Because we always have a hope. We always have something on the other side to look to. We press toward the goal. Why? How can we do that? We couldn't do that if it wasn't real. Paul couldn't tell us to do that if there wasn't really something on the other side for us. Paul couldn't tell us to not be in despair. It's okay, you can be perplexed, but not be in despair. He wouldn't have told us that if there wasn't something that we could reach to on the other side. And I'm going to tell you something else, that Paul would not have gone to his own crucifixion. Right. He wouldn't have taken it that far if he didn't know that there was something on the other side. And see, this is where Christians have to, we have to get back to the place where we understand that there's something on the other side, and that something is Jesus. He's waiting there for us, waiting to reward us when we get there, amen? Now, that other side doesn't necessarily mean it's in the sweet by and by. Doesn't mean when it's over in glory land, over in heaven. It can be here on the earth. You understand? Now, some things we do have to wait till we get over there. But God wants us to live. He wants us to know that there is victory here as we live here, as we reside here, as we abide here, hallelujah. If we abide in his word, that there is victory on the other side. There is no despair if you're a Christian. There can be perplexity, hallelujah, I don't know if that's a word, but you can be perplexed, but glory to God, you don't have to be in despair. What's a wonderful thing about being perplexed? God hasn't called you to know everything. He hasn't said that you've got to know everything, that you've got to figure things out. He told us in James that if you don't know something, if you need wisdom, what do? You ask of God. Because when you ask of God, he'll tell you. That's why we're not in despair, because it doesn't matter whether you know or not. Doesn't matter whether you have all the answers or not. Doesn't matter if you know the way, if you have the map, if you have the resources. It doesn't matter, because your God, your Father, is the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one that owns all the gold and the silver. He's the one that always has the answer. He's the one who has the power. He is the one that's got the glory. He is the one that's got the Holy Spirit, and he gave it to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you just go on with God to the other side. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God, because the Holy Ghost, he said, I won't ever leave you or forsake you. I won't leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you behind. I'm not going to leave you in despair. I'm not going to leave you perplexed. If you listen to me, I'll take you out of it. I'll get you on the other side. Hallelujah. He said the Holy Spirit was going to dwell with us for what? Ever. What does forever mean? Without ceasing. It means it's going to start today, or whenever you accept it, receive it, and you're going to go on forever. Amen. So what does that mean? You always have an answer on the inside of you. The answer is always right here. And guess what? From here to here ain't very far. Praise the Lord. If you could just learn how to follow God to get into that, from here to here ain't very far, and you could bring it up real quick. Amen. I'll tell you what. If you've ever been sick, you know that something can come from here, here, in a very quick manner. Praise the Lord. You know it doesn't take long. Praise the Lord. You know that it's right here, and you can feel when it starts. And you feel, I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just trying to say something. Well, we need to have gully washers, and not those kind. We need to have the gully washers of the Holy Ghost coming out of us. Praise the Lord. Giving us direction into the things that we need. Because God's placed it there for us. Praise the Lord. And thank God that he's smarter than we are. This is what I love about God. It doesn't matter if you're smart or dumb. The Holy Ghost is smarter than us all. Doesn't matter what level you're. It doesn't matter if you got your good enough diploma like me, or if you've gone all the way through to get 10 doctorates. It does not matter. Holy Ghost is still smarter. He still knows more. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just love the Lord. I love his word. I love the truth of his word. Amen. Where are we? Well, we're just down perplexed, not despair. I mean, we got further to go here. Hallelujah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus said. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave. If you give up hope, that means if you have a reason to give up hope, truly a reason to give up hope, that means that Jesus left you. That means he forsook you. And that means Jesus is a liar. And if Jesus is a liar, it means the word of God is not true. And if the word of God is not true, you have no hope of salvation. You have no hope of God. You have no hope of eternal life. You have no hope of anything. But how many know that's not true? God, Jesus isn't a liar. Jesus told the truth. He said, I have never left you nor forsaken you. Praise the Lord. So you always have an answer. You always have a place. How about we start looking at life like that? I always have an answer. Well, how about when something comes to you and you don't know what to do? How about you say, you know what? I always have an answer. Devil tells you, oh, what you going to do about this? What you going to do about this, Mark? What are you going to do? I always got an answer. That's right. Praise the Lord. I always got an answer. Why? Because I got the Holy Ghost. Right here, praise the Lord. And he's waiting to spew out. Amen. He's waiting to give me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You knock me down, I'll get back up though.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes, you know, listen, when you get struck down, it'll feel good. When you get struck down, you don't know, maybe you can get back up. But you don't know unless you try. And this is the thing we know. If we have the word and the word is true, then we know that we can get back up. So we need to just get back up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So guess what the word says? We can always get back up. Because if we're not destroyed, we always have a way to get back up. Amen. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is a real interesting thing, right? We're caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus. There are things that are attacking us because we follow God. But these things come against us that the life of God may be manifested in us. What does that mean? If the dying is coming to try to take us out, the manifestation of God wants to come through. That is what speaks. That's what speaks to God's power. Praise the Lord. How many have gone through a trial in life? How many have had that trial end? Yeah, you may be in a trial now. I'm not saying, I don't know. You may be in a trial now, but how many know that there's trials and in a trial there, it ends, right? Praise the Lord. Now, I don't think there's anybody in here that's 2 seconds old. Glory to God. You all lived here, but you're still living, aren't you? You're still going. It may not feel like you're still going. It may not feel like you can still go, but none of that matters what it feels like. Why? Because the life of God is manifested in us. It's manifested in us. How is it manifested in us? Well, we all made it here today. I'm going to tell you why. I've been through some bad trials in my life. I've been through some heavy stuff in my life. And today I'm 42 years old. Not today, but I am 42 years old as I stand here. Amen. And I'm 42 years old and I have made it through them. Praise, I made it through every one of them. Do you know how many trials in my life I was sure I wasn't going to make it through? Oh, there was a lot. But tell you what, it doesn't matter. And so what? God's proven himself for 42 years. He's proven himself faithful. I have a feeling that he'll go at least another 42. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Everyone say in our body.
In our body.
In our body.
In our body.
Guess what you don't have when you go to heaven? Your body. Don't have that body. The life of Jesus is manifested in this body. Where's this body? Oh, it's right here on earth. Yeah, amen. It doesn't leave until you leave. You know what I'm saying? Until you check out, go to heaven until that day. Praise the Lord. You got a body. And so the life of God is manifested in this body. Hallelujah. So you need to speak to this body like that. When things aren't going right, when things don't feel well, you just go like this. No, the life of Jesus is manifested in this body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't know how long I'm going here. How far am I going? To verse 18. Praise the Lord. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Mortal flesh. The life of Jesus is trying to be met. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. This is what it's talking about. Amen. That no matter what has come against you, no matter what you're dealing with, God wants to manifest this life in your body. Praise the Lord. And it says mortal body to let us know he is not talking about your heavenly body. Now, the Bible does say that we will be transformed. We'll get a new body. When we put off this old body, we'll put on a new body. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians it talks about that. But it talks about us putting off this body and putting on a new body. It's not talking about that body. That's for the sweet by and by. We're talking about the body that's for here on earth. Glory to God. We're going to press through, press on. Amen. We're going to get into the things that God has for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. What do? You got to speak life. You got to speak life. How do you get through the trial? How do you press through? You start speaking life. How do you get through the trial? You start speaking life. How do you get through the trial? You start speaking life. How do you get through the trial? You start speaking life. What's life? It's the opposite of death. So the death you've been speaking, stop saying that and start speaking the life of Jesus. What is the life of Jesus? That I have God manifested in my mortal flesh. That no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to see glory because that's what God has called me to. Amen. I'm going through this trial. I'm going to the other side. I do have Christ on the inside of me. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I know all things because the Holy Spirit is speaking to me all the time. And I listen to him and I desire more of God. I'm just speaking life. You know, I don't even want to do this anymore. Yes, you do. Yeah. Why? Because you want to be in God's will. Yeah. So I want to do this life. Amen. I want to do the things God's called me to. Yeah. Amen. See, this is the problem. We're gonna see it. People are just complaining. Amen. We're not supposed to be complaining. Hallelujah. You're looking at the king of complaining right here. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. There's been so many times where I want to complain. That's been my favorite thing to do in life. But glory to God, I'm changing that. Amen. Why? Because I ain't going to live in that mess anymore. Amen? Death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. See, as we learn to do this, what happens is we start expanding ourselves. Why? Because people look at them and they say, man, they're just goofy. They're just crazy. I don't know what's it, but they see the life working. They're like, man, they're crazy, but their crazy is working. Hallelujah. We need to show the world that our crazy works, that our goofiness is working. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our crazy is good crazy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Knowing that Jesus, where was I? Oh, yeah. Verse 16, thank you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose it. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. We are renewed in the spirit of our mind by renewing ourselves with the word. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. So many Christians, when the trial comes at us, the first thing we think is, this is it. This is what it all is. Doesn't it always feel like the end? I mean, how many times is the trial going to come to you and feel like the end, and you're going to go through it and get to the other side and realize, wait a minute, it wasn't the end, and I always thought it was the end. Maybe sooner or later, I got to stop believing what the devil says to me and start believing what the Bible says. The Bible says it wasn't the end. It says it's never the end. You never lose with God. Trump said we won't lose with him, but praise the Lord, with God, we won't lose with God. Hallelujah, you can't ever lose with God. It doesn't matter what's going on. I praise the Lord when everything is going our way in the nation. When we have things going our way, that's a great feeling, isn't it? When everything is just the way you want it. But guess what? Sooner or later, things aren't going to go your way. Yeah, somebody's going to get elected you aren't going to like. Somebody's going to do something that you don't want. Somebody's going to say something or try to take something that's yours, and you aren't going to be happy with it. But none of that stuff matters if we are in God, if we look to Christ, if we trust him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because these things are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God's doing things behind the scenes that we don't see. It's eternal. It lasts forever. Praise God. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, praise God. It doesn't say praise God, but I just said praise God. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Listen, you can reverse engineer this statement. All right? Let's reverse engineer this statement. Praise the Lord. There are many adversaries, so a great and effective door is open to me. Now see, you got adversaries for one of two reasons. Either you did something dumb or somebody dumb is doing something to you. Right? It's one of those two things. It's either your fault or it's not your fault. It's really easy to check and see if it's your fault. If you're in a bunch of mess, amen, if you're in a bunch of mess because of dumb things you've done, well, then you can correct that a certain way. But if that's not the case, and it's very simple to see, but if that's not the case, then we look to this and we say, wait a minute, this trial, now this doesn't mean that I've made some mistakes throughout life. Don't try to put it all on you like that. I mean, you'll specifically know if you've done something and you're getting the result of it. Amen. If you smoke for 50 years and all of a sudden you get lung cancer, you know, you specifically know what the cause of that was. You know what I mean? That wasn't God putting it on you. It's not the devil. It's not an attack. You understand that the steps you took those 50 years gave you lung cancer. But now if you got cancer, that doesn't mean all hope is lost either. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that we understand the difference between trials of self-affliction and trials of outward affliction. Amen. Glory to God. So if we reverse engineer, if we have many adversaries, if there's many things, you understand this, there's a great door that's open to you. That God is trying to get you into something. Then the devil is opposing it, and that's why there's adversaries. He's trying to stop you from going through. That's why you feel the pressure. But that's why we push back, because we're not going to let the pressure crush us. Because if the pressure crushes us, then we never get into the glory. There is great reward for being obedient to God. And when he has something for you to do, it always is for the purpose of causing great reward in your life or someone else's life. But God is always trying to bring us up. He's always trying to bring us into those things. And so if you're feeling the pressure and you don't know why, think about the scripture and say, hey, Pastor Jeff said to reverse engineer it. Yeah. Amen. It's, you know what reverse engineering is, right? Yeah. Right? That's where you take, I don't even know what it is. You take it apart and you figure out how it got put together. Yeah. Amen. I used to do that all the time with stuff and never figured out. I wasn't a very good reverse engineer, but this is easy. Amen. Thank God that the word is easy. Hallelujah. I'd take things apart and then I'd just have a box of parts. Amen. Glory to God. But I reverse engineered a Walkman once and turned it into a fan. I did do that. But I thought, I had these, did I ever tell this story? I don't know. Well, I had this fan. I had this Walkman motor. If you don't know what a Walkman is, well, let the ignorant be ignorant still. But it was a thing that turned tapes, so you could listen to tapes on your hip, you know. We didn't have iPods and MP3s and all that stuff. And so it turned tapes, and there was a motor that drove it. And the motor was run by batteries. And I had this motor, and I taped a little, toy airplane fan to it. And I'm like, oh, man, this thing works, you know. And I looked down at the light. I had these two wires here. And I looked down at the outlet, and I thought, don't do this, kids. By the way, I looked down at the outlet and I thought, I wonder what will happen. We plug things in there, so I might as well just plug this in there and get that fan to run because I didn't have batteries. You know, I was a little kid, didn't have money for batteries. Don't plug things in the outlet that isn't supposed to be plugged into the outlet. I'm telling you, we got some little kids in here. Don't plug things. You out there, don't plug things in the outlet that don't be in. You just let someone else plug it in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I plugged it in there and guess what happened? Big psh. Yeah, I didn't reverse engineer it too good. I didn't re-engineer it too good either. But we can reverse engineer this. We're going to look at it. And there are many adversaries. Therefore, a great and effective door is being opened to me. Amen. So I'm just going to press back against it because I got something on the other side. The adversaries are like a siren that blessing's coming. Yeah, that's what they are. They're like, blessing's coming. Blessing's coming. Something good's about to happen. Something really good's about to happen. Actually, the greater the trial is, the better the something is. So bring it on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just saying on the other side, listen, I don't want unnecessary trial. But if I got to go through something great to get something great, well, glory to God, I'm going to have to go through something great. Because I want great things. I'm not okay with little things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when you're a little boy, little toys are okay. But when you're a big boy, big toys are a lot more desirable. Amen. Glory to God. Matchbox cars pleased me at one time. Now real cars please me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not after real cars necessarily, but I'm not after them either. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just looking for the blessing of the Lord. So if it's a great trial, glory to God, it's going to be great, great blessing on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it too. Let's love it together and get into all that has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great and effective door is open to me, and therefore there are many adversaries. That's why they're there. Yes. See, you thought it was just because God hated you. Oh, man. God hated, why God let me do it, blah, 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 blah. You know why Christians never get to the other side? Because that's where they stay crying about it. Yeah. That's what they do. They stay complaining about it. I'm just complaining about this forever. That's why I don't like those Christian songs that talk about complaining all the time. Because that's all they're doing. They're complaining about it, and they're never getting into what God has for them. Oh, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians 2. We're in Philippians already. We're gonna flip back to Philippians. That was funnier than you're giving me credit for. Thank you. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So many times we want to focus on everybody else, especially when we're in trial. We focus on everybody else. Well, what do they get? Why do they get that? You know, one time I was in our church in Jamestown, my pastor's church. You know, when we were, when I say my pastor's church, I mean that's the church that he pastors at. You understand? It was, you know, all of our church, of course. But I was at my pastor's church, and his wife, Pastor Katie, was preaching, and I had been going through some trial on some things, with lots of things, with some things financially, and we saw this. We saw this brother and sister in the faith that were just getting blessed. Their socks, it just looked like their socks were being blessed right off them. I mean, they had stuff coming in and they were going out. I mean, the stuff they were throwing away is stuff that I wanted to keep. You know what I'm saying? It was just like that. And this brother and sister in the faith, they weren't particularly faithful with anything. I'm not judging. I'm just saying the truth. You know when somebody's faithful when they're not. You know what I mean? And it was maybe there's just different stages, but I knew that we were faithful. I knew that we were working hard to get things, you know? When I mean working hard to get things, I don't mean we were just working to get things, but we were working hard at things, you know, to be good, to be in God's plan, to be helping his work and to all these things. And it just seemed like every time that we took a step up, we got knocked back too. Every single time. And here's this couple, and I started like looking at it and just being like, you know, I couldn't understand it. And Pastor Katie was preaching, and she started talking about, I think she was talking about how sometimes that the Lord will hold things back for a little while. And I had gotten this vision, actually. I had gotten this vision that of floodgates. And that the more that something is held back, the more pressure builds behind it. But you know, if you had floodgates and you were holding a little stream back, and you open it up, it just trickle out. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? Like in the bathtub or something, you hold water back or with your hands and just a little bit comes out. But how many know that if you build a big dam and you really hold that back and all that pressure builds up and finally one day it bursts, what happens? It just gets everything wet, right? It just blesses everything. And that's what the Lord showed me through us, and she confirmed it in her message is what it was. But sometimes the blessing is, it's not that God's withholding it, but sometimes if things are held back a little bit and the pressure gets to build up, but as the pressure is building, you know, when you're at this much pressure, it's one thing. But when you're at this much, when you start doubling it and tripling it, you know, it feels like a lot harder. But if we understand the way pressure works, that when it bursts, it's bringing a lot with it. Glory to God. We'll look at things a lot differently. We're going to start seeing the trial a lot differently. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the same way, you know, we are so focused on what everybody else is doing and getting and all this stuff. Why are you focusing? The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice. My pastor says it this way. I love it. He says your number one way of qualification to get something is how you rejoice with someone else when they get what you wanted. Yeah, absolutely. And see, what do a lot of Christians do? They're trying to tear people apart, trying to say, oh, you got that. You don't need that. This world is the spirit of the devil, Antichrist, is all over socialism. Oh, we're going to take from this person and give it to here. Why? No, God will equal it all out. You ain't got to take from anybody. And see, that's the thing. It's crept into the church because people are thinking, well, this Christian's getting blessed. Why are they getting blessed when there's all these poor over here? No, if you follow God, you'll increase too. If you follow God, you'll get there too. You ain't got to hold back from somebody else and you have no idea what people have been sowing. And that's the ultimate thing. You really have no idea what somebody's labored for and stuff like that. So keep your eyes on your own stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you do see somebody getting blessed and you rejoice, praise God. Hallelujah. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's with reverent fear. You know, it doesn't mean being afraid. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God works in you. And he works in you. And he works in you. And he works in you and you and you and you. He works in all of us. And how is he working us? The way he works in us. It doesn't matter how he works in you. It just matters how he works in me, for me. And it matters how he works in you, for you. Praise the Lord. Don't look to somebody else to try to figure out God. Because you ain't going to figure it out that way. We give testimonies not to sit here and say, we don't give testimonies to sit here and say, look what I got and you don't. We give testimonies to show what God does. Yeah. Listen, God takes somebody from down here and puts them up here. Why? Because that's what God does. He increases people because that's what he does. But it comes in his timing if you follow him. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. It's God who works in you, both to will and do his and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things. Everybody say all things. All things. Without complaining. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And disputing or arguing. Yeah. Do them without. What are we arguing about? Do you answer to God or do you answer to men? Yeah. I don't answer to men. I answer to God. Yeah. I don't answer to you. I answer to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't care. You know, this is the thing. You know, it's nice when somebody says, oh, that was a great sermon. Help me. Praise the Lord. But honestly, it doesn't matter to me. Because it doesn't matter, and what I'm saying by that is it doesn't matter to me what you think of me. It matters to me what God thinks of me. Did I preach the word that he wanted me to preach? If I did, then I did good. But if I didn't, even if you liked it, it still isn't doing good to God. I want to please God, amen? This is the way we need to live our lives. This is the way we need to walk our walk, pleasing him. I don't care if we're pleasing others, we're pleasing him, amen? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Understand this, that arguing and that disputing and that complaining, that's crooked and perverse to God. Christians who are bickering back and forth, it's perverse to God. It's crooked. It's evil. God doesn't like it. This is why, I was talking to, praise the Lord, I ain't gonna tell who I was talking to just because it could, if anyone else is listening, it could lead them in other places. But it was a camp outside of our camp. We'll just say that. I was talking to somebody, older couple in that camp. And I was talking about, we were talking about church boards and stuff like that and problems church boards have and all this bickering back and forth and trying to figure things out. And one thing that was said to me is, I'm glad I'm not part of that anymore. Older person that was saying this, I mean, much older. You know, they kind of retired out of it, so to speak. And they said, I'm glad I'm not part of that anymore. Why did they say they're glad? Because I don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. That's not how God's people need to be. God's Bible says that we need to be willing to yield. Yeah. Amen. That's what love does. It says that those who want peace need to be makers of peace. Amen. Glory to God. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. What if the lights look like everything else? You know, one thing, they used to make signs. They would make them light up signs. They make them red so they stood out on the street. When you're going down the street and you see all red signs, you know what I mean? Like signs for businesses and stuff like that. They all look the same. Yeah. And that's the way a lot of Christians look with the world. They look the same. Let's not act the same. Holding fast the word of life. Holding fast the word of life. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Amen. We need to hold fast to the things that are God. Not complaining, not disputing. See, this is where, because the devil gets us into this. When you feel like you don't have, and that's a lot of this like socialism garbage that's in our nation right now. That's where it's bubbling out of, is it's coming. There's people that feel like they've gone without for so long. So what's their only answer is to start seeking it from somewhere else. Let's start taking it from someone else. That's not the way God designed things. God said, if you follow him, he'll increase you. God said, if you follow him, he'll bless you. God said that if you follow him, he'll always give you away. Always. So you don't need to have this or that or this benefit or that benefit. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. Like we get to the place where, you know, I want everybody to make good money. I do. But, you know, if I also want to be able to go to McDonald's and not have to spend $500 just to get a meal. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't go to McDonald's often, but you know, I understand what if I have to go there, you know what I mean? It's the same thing. We have to think about things like that. And I'm not trying to get political. I'm just saying that the problem is the complaining and the disputing because I want what someone else wants. But that same thing has crept into the church where people are saying that, and it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. We have to whatever God has for me. Amen. I ain't taking it from someone else. Praise the Lord. I'm taking it from God. I'm going to close with this. James. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to sing a song here tonight too. Right after I say this. James. I can't find James. There it is back here. Sorry. It's after Hebrews. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God's goal, go ahead and you can come up here. You don't even know what song we're going to play. You know the song, I'm Going Through? Do you know? Remember that? You know how to play it? Praise the Lord. We're gonna do that song tonight because I just felt that it was a good song to end on. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But let patience have its perfect work in you. Yeah. That you may be complete, lacking nothing. God doesn't want us to lack anything. He wants us to be full and complete, but we get there through patience. So let's press on, we'll press in, we'll press on, we'll press through the trials, we'll press into all that God has for us. Yeah.